This interview was recorded for the Dursingham 2000 History Project on the 27th of March 1998. Please may I have your full name?
Clifford James Richards.
And do you have a nickname?
Yes, Cobbler. Because my father was a shoe repairer and shoemaker.
So the children used to call you that?
That's what my name was.
When did you first come to Dursingham?
When I was born. You got there, look? The two standing there. Jenny, that's my granddaughter, and she's married and she lives in Snettisham.
Right, so you're really quite a big local family.
Big family, yes.
Now, I'd like you to tell me everything you can about your earliest memories when you were a little baby, what you can remember anyway.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember.
No.
My parents moving to the shop up here. You know where the shoe shop is.
Right.
I was 6 weeks old, but they told me.
And they bought the shoe shop?
Well, it belonged actually to my mother's sister, who lived in York. Anyway, they bought it in the end, you know, later on. But father, he was an apprentice to a man called Sanctuary, a shoe repairer in Chapel Road. But when my dad was 15, his father died just before Christmas. He still had a sister going to school, and his mother was alive. And alas, there was no health service then, or social service then.
Of course.
And dad had to give up his apprenticeship. I think he about had another year to do. Gave up and he looked after his mother and sister, still going to school. And then he met my mother, because he had one of these very old-fashioned Edison Bell phonographs. Not a round record, but like a jam pot.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If you've probably seen one. Anyway, he sent his sister out to go to ask my mother to come and listen to his photograph. And that was the beginning
of the relationship.
Of his friendship. Anyway, they were married in the Western Chapel down here. They were met
at the chapel on Chapel
just
Road?
Just here, yes. And I was baptised there.
Really? Because it hasn't been going for years.
I went to school there. My mother, there was a proud of her kids. Do you know about anniversaries that they used to have?
No.
Every year. We used to have an anniversary, and the children all were on the up on the stand on the tires, and had to say a piece of poetry, and I hated that. And also, one of my earliest memories there was our Sunday school treat. We always looked forward to that. We went out. We used to go to Snettisham Beach, obviously, in farm wagons. Mr. Stanton.
The old Mr. Stanton.
Not young Dick, but his grandfather.
Right.
They used to have their farm wagons and they used to take us. The horses had their manes all braided with the coloured ribbons, flags flying, and a lovely happy day. And the sun was all shining somewhere in my memory.
You never had a wet day.
And do you know, I remember going down the beach road from Snettisham. The wild roses. I've always loved the wild roses, and they were always out when we had our treat.
So would this be in the sort of summer holidays?
This was summer, yes. A summer treat. And I can remember the ham sandwiches and the little ice cakes we would have. We loved it, you know, it was lovely.
And it was your treat from chapel?
From chapel, not from school.
Yeah,
the chapel, yeah, the Methodist chapel, they had their treat too,
yes.
But they used to go somewhere else.
What was the difference? Was chapel a different religion?
No, they're nonconformists, you see. John Wesley, and there was the... Wesley was the Wesleyans that
yes.
My family belonged to.
So basically there was the main church and the church...
And three chapels then.
Where was the third?
There's one, you know... Where the car park is, opposite the little primary school it used to be.
Yes.
Yeah. You know that little building there?
Raised up.
That's right. That was a chapel, but I can't remember what it was called now.
So people were a lot more God-fearing in those days.
Oh,
everybody went.
You know, we used to have a, what they call a hospital Sunday. I mean, the hospitals weren't run by the government. The money came from the people.
Yes.
And we used to have a hospital Sunday, and I used to have a collecting box, a lot of us, outside the shoe shop. And we put a banner across the road, Dursingham Hospital Sunday. And there weren't so many cars then, of course, but as they came along, we'd shake the box and they'd throw the money out. And that was for the hospital. And also, we had used to pay so much a week, only a few coppers, because, I mean, a man worked for 29 and threepence a week, old money.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, think, of course, were much cheaper.
Yes.
But it wasn't a lot of money.
No, it wasn't. And what about school? Now, where did you go to school?
Yes, here at the little school, that's closed now, and it's a social place.
Oh, that little one on
the main
road?
Are they going to keep that open, by the way?
Oh, we don't know.
I hope they do.
Do you mean the one along the main road, or the one up at...
I mean the one by the coach and horses and the fence?
Yes. No, I don't think so.
It's a shame, that is.
Yes.
But anyway, I was either 3 or 4 years old when I started school.
As young as that.
And I can remember as though it's yesterday, holding my oldest sister's hand, going across to school. And of course, in my innocence, I thought that I was going to go in with my sister. But when the bell went, you know, they used to have a bell, you know.
Yes.
They used to pull the bell. And she had to go and line up over there, me. I was shoved in the infants, you see. The two infant teachers were called Miss Jessica Smith, which was Hillhouse Farms, the daughter of the old farmer there. You know where Hillhouse Farm is, don't you?
Yes, yes.
And the superintendent of police, Twiddy, his name was, and his daughter was...
The other teacher.
Yeah. I won't tell you the one of the stories that happened with... I don't think I should, really. because, you know, a little kid, 4 years old, fancy not letting them go out to the toilet when they want to go.
They didn't.
And they wouldn't then, you know. And I pleased teacher coming out, you know, right, 4 years old.
No.
No, and I was busting. I wasn't going to go home with wet pants.
No. So what did you do?
A weed on the floor.
Ah!
And, yeah, of course, that little kid sitting along, again, this, remember that was yesterday, please take your Cliff Richards weed on the floor. This was not being recorded, is it?
Yes.
Oh, dear. And anyway... She had, was that you? Well, I had to admit it, you know. But she raped me out and smacked my behind, full and truly.
Of course, in those days you got smacked.
Yes, yeah, yes.
So was it quite...
But I've got mixed thoughts about corporal punishment. I mean, with big lads and things like that. What deterrent have you got?
None.
You get 90%... It's like... In the army, I was a sergeant in the army with 76 blokes in my platoon. 70 of them are all right, they're no bother. The other 6, you get troublemakers.
Yes.
And they make it bad for everybody.
Yes.
So what do you do?
Yes, of course.
I don't know.
Was a different time.
Yeah.
Now, so we've talked about chapel and school. What else can you remember about those very early years?
Well, of course there was no water. We fetched our water from a pump 2 or 3 doors down the road. No electric light, no street lights, no sewage. No sewage. There was a bucket in the
And it used to
little
be
house.
Careful, I understand.
Yes. Well, that's all we knew, so we took it as...
Yes.
Yeah.
But when the van was late coming...
That's right. And anyway, the tell you a little story about... When the electric electricity was being laid on, or was proposed, they had a meeting at the Foresters Hall.
Yes.
And I went with my mother. I was only a kid. And there was an old boy called Donkey Door. That was his nickname, Donkey Door. He had a donkey cart, And he lived right next to the post office, next door. And he was there, and he was a proper old countryman. And He got up, they asked for comments, you know. What was good enough for our forefathers is good enough for us. We don't want electric light and we ain't going to have it. That's right, I remember that as yes.
I suppose they thought that was too modern
to have electric. Yeah, well, I don't know. People are a bit old-fashioned. I suppose I'm old-fashioned compared with some people in the years coming.
I was going to say, did you live above the shop? Or was the shop a separate...
It was two houses then. Two houses. Where you're going to John's shop now was a separate house. So it's been two houses turned into the shop.
And you lived there?
Yeah. My father, when we first went there, it's what we call the old wood shop. It was a wooden building. It's still there, behind.
Yes.
That was his workshop. And then it was two houses. Well, then they turned the one house we lived in, part of it, into the shop. And he worked there. And incidentally, my father was a very well-respected man. He was open house for all the lads in the village. Nights were dark, nothing for him to do.
No.
And he had forms all round his shop. And I've seen literally over 20 chaps from school age to 20 years old,
yes,
all sitting round.
What, to have a chat?
In the evening, yeah. Oh, yes. Because Dad used to work from 5 in the morning to 10 at night, you know.
What, fixing shoes?
Yeah, fixing shoes, yes. And he also sold little packets of biscuits and mineral waters and cigarettes. And, of course, the blokes used to spend a shot of a bob or two.
So it was almost like a sort of youth club.
It was. It was the youth club. They had nowhere else. Mm-hmm. And the boys used to say, where shall we go tonight? Oh, we go to Arnie's. My father's name was Ernie, you see. And Dad was really a good old boy.
Yes.
He really was. And very well respected.
Yes.
He had pneumonia when I was a boy going to school. But you'd be surprised what these blokes clubbed together and took them, because the only money coming in the house was 10 shillings a week from a club he belonged to. That's all.
Yes.
And the Stanton family, the old Mrs. Stanton, that's Dick's grandmother, was very good, sent milk and things like that.
Now, presumably, most of his work wasn't selling new shoes, but mending old ones, was it?
He made shoes, yes, of course he did.
Them.
He made shoes mostly for people who were cripples or, right, you know, who had bad deformed feet.
Yes.
Because they made the measure, you see.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he'd make those. And.
But it was soling and healing, I suppose.
Soling and healing. Yes. I can tell you how much hand sewn, take about 2 hours or more.
Yeah.
To sew them on by hand. Was 5 and 6 pence old money. 5 and 6 pence. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only time I ever saw my dad lose his temper, it was a family, another name's no pack drill. They sent the daughter around with, they used to put toe caps on. When the toe caps worn through, they said, we throw them away now, don't we?
Yes.
He used to sew the toe cap on and sew it all the way around there. Well, old Dad sat there and sewed on a toe cap on this shoe. And the girl come and collected, took it home. Charged 9 pence. 9 old pence.
Yes.
And I don't know how, it must take them an hour or more. And apparently the father came round. Arnie, that's what Dad meant. Arnie, he said, daylight robbery, charging me 9 pence. that's true.
But of course, they used to pass the shoes down through the family.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'd lift it down.
Yes.
The wealthy family in York, we used to have their sons' things.
Because it was
and
very
then
expensive.
They went from us to village children who
couldn't afford
third hand.
Yes, because obviously people didn't have the income.
But don't get me wrong, we enjoyed life.
Well, everybody was poor.
Yeah, everybody was poor. And we used to go down to the beach over the station, you know.
Yes.
And run down there. We hadn't got bikes or anything then.
You ran all the way down?
And we'd run down there for a swim in the evening if the tide was right.
Yes.
We'd camp down there at weekends and take streaky bacon and used to cook it and burn it. But tasted lovely, you know. And the first tent I had, we made from Tate and Lyle's sugar sacks. Tate and Lyle, the sugar used to come in sacks. And of course, you can't remember when they used to take a blue square of paper, roll it up, like they found the sugar went in there. That was how it was done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I know the first time we camped down there was me and my brothers, the two older brothers, and middle of the night, Dad broke down on his trade bike because he was worried about it. Anyway,
yes,
we was
what you were up to.
Anyway, so I don't know what.
Now, can you remember about the war? Well, presumably you can. About
the first war, yes. The first war, I remember the Zeppelin raids very well.
What, round here?
I'm talking about the First World War now.
Yes, yes.
At the shop. I suppose about 1916 they'd probably started.
So how old would you have been then?
Oh, four.
And you can remember
But I can remember that ever so well. Because you can't remember that that was something, when they dropped bombs, it impressed itself on a child's mind.
Of course.
And my mother used to take us all in the pantry, in the larder, because it was under the stairs, and they always thought that was the strongest part. But I remember this night, and I can tell you exactly where the bombs dropped. It came, the Zeppelin came over our house from the seaside, and the first bomb fell. Do you know where Wellsville House is? In Manor Road.
Right.
It's now Manor Side.
Yes.
Well, that used to be a field. The first bomb dropped there, the crater there, and then the next one dropped in the open common, you know, where they've been doing all this...
Yes, getting rid of all the
but
rubbish.
But where they haven't done it, it was the bomb crater was there. We used to go and find bits of shrapnel, you know. And then, luckily, it went on and dropped all the rest of its load on the fence.
Yes.
And then one bomb didn't go off, and I remember the next day... I was only a small lad. Dad kept a few chickens, you see, and it was in the war. And I went up to the baker's shop, which was opposite the White Horse, Jarvis, and to get some corn for his chickens. And they hadn't told people, or at least we didn't know, this bomb went off. I remember dropping the bag of corn over the road, you know, running.
Right.
We were terrified.
Because
I killed a woman that night.
Really?
Dodsell. You know where the square is at Dodsell, the green?
Yes.
If you can still see some shrapnel marks from one of the bombs on a chimney. If you look across, if you come up from the bottom of the hill and you come to the green, there's some houses that way on, and then there's some like that, isn't there? And up there you can see that.
See
still. But this woman, she was caught outside and she was killed. A lady by the name of Dunga, Mrs. Dunga.
Oh.
And well, I remember my parents taking us up the next day, and some old boy got a collecting box, was sitting in the bomb crater, collecting money for the bomb down people. But two or three times we had the raids like that.
Yes, I suppose most
and actually, I saw one of them with a searchlight on it one night, like a cigar. My father carried me out in his arms. I can remember that. Now, you may think I'm sprucing, but there's very vivid memories, these are.
And then, of course, you must have gone through the general strike.
Pardon?
You must have gone through
the general,
general strike.
I remember that as though it's yesterday.
Now, did that affect Dursingham at all?
Yes, we didn't get the Durham marches here, of course.
No.
But the agricultural workers were on strike too, you know.
They were.
And I remember marching, you know, where the farmers' club is. The farmers, you know, used to be the old hall.
Yes.
Well, there's the church row and the church cottages. On the grass there, I remember them all sitting down and resting there. The whole load of the marches.
Because basically, the only industry here was farming, apart from wasn't it?
Oh yes, agriculture was most of. I can't remember anything else really.
No.
But so that was it. But
and then of course that led us on to the next war, didn't it?
Yes. Well,
and we weren't really
before the next war. Maybe you may be interested. It's actually, I worked at Sandringham in the gardens. I was living in the Bothy then, if you know what the Bothy is. It's a place for the single men who come from away.
Yes.
And they live. It was very nice, and you had a little room of your own, and it was very funny, really. You had a big dining table, because there were about 24 of us in the Bothy.
Yes, who worked for the farm.
At Sandringham, yes. Yeah. And we all had our loaf of bread in front of us in this long table, and your bottle of milk, or what, you had it in a jug or whatever. But for meat and a main meal during the week, we had a woman used to come in and do the cooking. So meat and that sort of thing, and flour, I suppose, and thing, all were put together and divided by the number of people, and you paid your whack, probably about 6 or 7 shillings.
Yes.
And I loved the Bothy. It was, you were free, you know.
Yes. Yes. And, even though your own family were here. You were independent.
And on Christmas Day, 1929 or 30. Yeah. The Prince of Wales, who later the Duke of Windsor.
Yes.
Now, you hear a lot of things about him, but I worshipped him as a hero worshipper as a boy. And I thought he was a wonderful chap. And his brothers. But the Prince of Wales, he was a great golfer. And he'd been on his world tour in the Renown, the battleship Renown. He covered the whole world. And he was one of the best ambassadors we ever had. Mm-hmm. He sold his country to the... And he did a lot. Anyway, this Christmas Day, I'd gone home from Sandringham up the gardens and was having Christmas dinner with my parents. Now, we were all sitting around the table, and knock came on the door. I went, it was the head gardener from Sandringham, because I used to golf caddy for the princes, you know, and any of the guests.
What, when they came to stay?
When they came.
Yes.
And he said, "Oh, young man," he said, "The Prince of Wales had just rung me up from, they'd had their dinner, they used to dine in the evening, of course, and him and his three brothers want to have a round of golf." Of course, he had a golf course, a 9-hole course in the park then. "And can you find 4 caddies for the 4 brothers?" So I said, "Yeah, I expect so." Anyway, my brother's all the blacksmith, and my brother who lives in Australia now, he's been there for the last 30 years, and the boy who we lost in the war, he was only a tiddler. "Oh, I'll go Cliff, because it's half a crown, you see, you got a lot of money." And I said to poor old Claude, "Because you're only a kid," I said, "you could never carry the bag of clubs, boy." I can carry him. So away we went. 4 brothers caddied for 4 royal brothers that day.
Oh, that's a memory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny really, because the Prince, the Duke of Gloucester, there was the Prince of Wales, he was later the Duke of Windsor, Duke of York, later King George VI, the Duke of Gloucester, who was Prince Henry,
yes,
and then Prince George, who was the youngest one of the 4 princes. He was killed in an air crash during the war. On the way flying to Iceland.
So one of their brothers...
And their youngest brother, yes, and my youngest brother were both killed in the war.
Yes, it just shows you. Now, can I ask you this before we run out? What would you say is the worst time you can remember in the village?
Well, personal?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's 2 or 3 things. I suppose losing my wife.
Yes.
My young brother.
Yes.
And John's... the shop, they've got the blind girl, and yes, she's retarded. And when I knew that she was blind.
Yes. But apart from that, but what about the worst thing in the village? Not necessarily your family.
Well, I suppose probably I would say that maybe the 53 flood, I don't know.
The flood, yes. What can you remember about it?
Oh, I remember it very well. Because there was no television, but we had the radio. And that, I was a postman then here.
Yes.
And that day the wind had howled a howling gale. You couldn't ride the bike against it, you couldn't hardly walk against it. All that day. And I remember the old marsh shepherd, his name was Lincoln, old Lincoln. I took a letter to him and he said, boy, he said, that water's coming over tonight. So I said, you know. Anyway, we were all used to watch the play on a Saturday night, listen to the play on the radio. And we were listening to that when my second son came in. He said, Dad. I said, we're listening to the play, boy. So, Dad. I said, well, after the play's finished, it won't be long. When the play's finished, he said, Dad, he said, the sea is up to Durham Station. I said, my God. I went out and I made my way down there, because the wind was blowing straight in your face.
Yes.
And I got down there, and true enough, the sea was up to the station. I just got through the gates there. And what terrible things were, there was things there. It was dark, but you could see. I picked up a board, and do you know what that was? That was a board from the Sainsbury's station at Heacham.
Good gracious.
It washed there in that time. Yeah. And do you know, it didn't come home me. Even then, I didn't realise that people are dying there. I don't know why. And a local chap, old, he used to live up Doddsill. He died not so long ago. What's his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was there, he said, with another chap. He said, Cliff, he said, Billy Bird's got his cows. He used to have cows about 100 yards down the beach road. Down there, and they can't get out. He said, how about getting down there? Well, I said, not me, boy. I said, if that had been people there, I would have had a go. But I said, no, I'm not going to.
No.
Because you.
It's too risky.
It was terrible, I mean.
Yes.
And the water was like ice. Anyway, they managed to get out and they came up to the wire fence along the railway line. The
cows.
And Freddie Cross. He cut the wire and let the cattle out. He didn't have to actually swim right down the 100 yards because he couldn't have done it. And I always thought he did a marvellous job. Mm-hmm. And that was that. But after that, the next morning on the Sunday, that was, well, it's indescribable what it was like. I mean, I've been through war and Normandy and all that sort of thing. And it gives you some idea what it must be. Blew the cattle, and the first thing my son, who'd come in that night to tell me about it, him and his friend picked up an 18-month-year-old baby, dead baby, just by the station. And it was weeks, really, literally weeks, we used to scour the marshes until we found the last body.
Yes. Do you think it will ever happen again?
Yes.
You do?
I think that it's inevitable. It has happened many times in the past, you know. If you go to Lindith and Margaret's and go around to the main, you see it on the wall.
Yes.
Through the years. And also, in our library, there is the Reverend Lewis's History of Dursing, which he compiled. You can't take it out, but you can study it there, which I've done that several times. And our village sign, I did the research for that. I was on the parish council then.
Yes.
And I got most